Philippians 1:27 has long been the theme verse of the ministry of Lancaster Baptist Church. It has been, under the leadership of Pastor Chapel, our goal, our desire, to strive together with one heart, one mind for the faith of the gospel. Not long ago, as we began our 25th year of ministry under Pastor Chapel's leadership, he sat down at a staff retreat with our entire ministry staff, and he presented a session entitled Striving Together. And once again, we returned to Philippians chapter 1 and verse 27, and we talked about the spirit of our ministry in our labor together as a team. We want to share that session with you today on the Spiritual Leadership Podcast. Thanks so much for joining us. I'm Kerry Schmidt, your host, and this podcast features the teaching and the preaching and encouragement of Dr. Paul Chapel, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and the president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. There's something very special about doing ministry with the right spirit in a way that honors the Lord and in a way that doesn't quench the Holy Spirit, that essentially gets out of his way and lets God do what he really wants to do. And that's kind of the goal of this session, is to encourage you in the spirit of striving together in the ministry of the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is a two-part lesson. We heard the first portion during our last Spiritual Leadership Podcast, so we're going to jump right into the second half of Striving Together in Spiritual Leadership.
Let's notice, secondly, the stand for the truth. Remember, there's three dominant truths here in this verse. The first deals with spirit striving together, and we've talked about the importance of our work ethic and the rigors of the work and the way we work together in the spirit and without its and without agendas, and we strive together with this spirit. But notice the stand for the truth, because it says here, striving together for the faith. Now, this is what really excites me about ministry, and that is that everything we do here revolves around and lifts up and supports the faith of Jesus Christ. And folks, you ought to thank God that your whole life gets to be around the faith of Jesus Christ. Striving together for the faith. Now, I believe that Brother Carrizosa back here, who's a deputy sheriff or a lieutenant in the sheriff's department, I believe that his life is all for the faith and everything he does to the glory of God. And I understand that. But I understand that God's given us the opportunity and privilege to work hours a day spreading the faith, teaching the faith, encouraging the warriors of the faith, and singing the songs of the faith, and publishing the good tidings of the faith. And we're striving together here at Lancaster Baptist Church for the faith. Now, let me say this very quickly. Every one of us tonight have preferences, and everyone has a right to those, because God made all of us different. I do appreciate a staff that leans with the leader and tries to get the heart of the pastor, and we work together. But I want to tell you that at the end of the day, more than how I might prefer something, you might prefer a blue shirt, I might prefer a white shirt, whatever. At the end of the day, what matters the most is, are we conveying truth and getting the faith to the next generation? And I want you tonight to recognize that the passion of this ministry is to strive together for the faith. Now, let's just take a quick look at this. Number one, letter A, truth has been delivered. How many of you thank God the truth has already been delivered? Amen. How many of you are glad it's not every service we're getting a new revelation? Amen. It's not every service we're getting some new thought, some new idea, a new word of knowledge. The truth has been delivered. And by the way, I want to tell you something very quickly. This is amazing. I could cite a couple of Wall Street Journal articles that have come out. I could cite the USA Today article that my son Larry shared with me last week about youth ministries that are losing teenagers, but the ones that are keeping them are the ones that have a strong emphasis on the truth. The Wall Street Journal article last week by a 27-year-old Christian who said, essentially, what's going on with church? He said, it's getting nutty. And the whole article was about how churches are having to have series that have something about sex in the topic of the title in order to attract a crowd. It says the church is trying to do what Hollywood's been trying to do for 20 years. And this 27-year-old writer in the Wall Street Journal said, churches are getting weird, is what he was saying. I want to tell you what he said at the end of the article. He said, what we really want is real Christianity based upon the truth. Now, in the survey that I mentioned a moment ago that was done by Lifeway, were the beliefs of the church important as you looked at the church? And look what the percentage was. 91% of the unchurched, yes. 89% of those who transferred, yes. In other words, friendliness, huge. Truth, huge, okay? And we need to remember that lifting up the truth, rightly dividing the truth, studying the Word of God, having a Christ-centered, Bible-based philosophy in math and science, and all that we do, truth truly matters tonight. God has given us a body of truth, Jude in verse number 3. He has given to us the truth, the faith once delivered unto the saints. And the body of truth becomes the basis for our convictions, all right? I'm going to tell you something I'm learning right now with the 18 to 26-somethings. They ask a lot of questions. And the Bible college students ask a lot of questions. And by the way, they're good questions and with a good spirit. But I'll tell you what they're waiting for in the Bible college setting, ladies and gentlemen, and they're waiting for scripture in your answer. And a couple of you are real good bluffers.
Well, bless God, you know, J. Frank Norris didn't do it that way.
Well, they don't even know who J. Frank Norris was. That's like saying Noah or, you know, Abraham Lincoln. And you thought you scored a big one because you said that, and he's still standing there waiting to hear a biblical explanation on that matter. The basis of our conviction needs to be the truth of the Word of God. Hey, don't ever apologize. Someone will come in, well, I want to know what the Bible, Bible didn't say you can't smoke. Don't get nervous about such silly questions. The Bible does teach that our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And there are biblical principles many times that can be taught. But the truth has been delivered, and it is the body of truth that we gather around, and it forms the basis of our convictions. Paul said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Now, let me just say this. One way to keep the faith is by hanging around people who are keeping the faith. Okay? And that's where, as fundamentalists, we contend for the faith. One of the attributes and characteristics and part of the DNA of being an independent fundamental Baptist is that we contend for the faith, and all of us need to recognize that one of the ways to stay sound doctrinally is to stay with people who are staying sound. So you say, well, what if this guy is saved just because he preached for the homosexual crowd? I'm not saying whether he's saved or not. I'm just saying the body of truth has been delivered. A fundamental Baptist will stand for that truth and will step aside from those that are not standing for that truth, you see. The truth has been delivered, and it becomes the basis for our conviction. And let me say this, it becomes the basis for our fellowship, okay? I will fellowship with those who, you say, I'll fellowship with anybody who loves Jesus. Wait a minute. I'll fellowship with anybody who believes in Jesus. The devils believe and tremble. But we must cooperate based on the truth that's been delivered. Truth has been delivered. Letter B. The truth has been defended. The truth has been defended. Now, in this seeker-sensitive, people-pleasing day, nobody wants to bear the stigma of standing up for the Lord. And it's not an easy thing. You say, well, I bet you just love the fight. Not really. But I want to love the truth enough to be willing to stand in the fight. You see, the truth has been delivered, but the truth must be defended. Brother Schmidt gave me an article that he read, and it was by a leading Southern Baptist, Charles Stanley's son, Andy. And once in a while, I get an article from somebody along this line that I kind of view more like a, you know, secular book, really, just some good management stuff. And he was not giving it to me to endorse the author or the article even. He just said, look at this. In fact, it was the article where he said, quote, our people would care more if we changed the music of the church than the doctrine of the church. And Brother Schmidt found that article and said, here, you can have this for your documentation. But in that article, the same author said, and I quote, listen carefully, preaching today should be less about defending the truth and more about applying the truth. Now, I want to say something. I disagree with that. Preaching today should be about both. You are a member of a fundamental independent Baptist church where we have worked diligently to help people apply the truth. And Brother Ketch teaches that in every homiletics class. We have worked diligently to say, here's some handles how you can take this and use it in your life this week. But we must not bend so far to the being Mr. Funny Practical that we forget every once in a while to stand up and say, thus saith the Lord, and to preach with a homosexual is wrong. a fundamental Bible-believing Christian has some salt, has some light. And we want to be practical. And folks, it's not all about, and I know sometimes where these men are coming from, because they've seen the guys that always have a bee in their bonnet. They're always preaching against a liberal. It's not all about that, but it's partly about that, because we're commanded to contend for the faith. But we must have the balance in ministry that God would have us to employ. And so there have been men who have fought. Now, let me just give you some quick thoughts on that. How about the early Christians? How about Polycarp, Ignatius, Tertullian? How about perhaps you could say Patrick of Ireland? There's many different ones that could be named. I mean, we're talking about people who, because they believed and would not recant, were thrown to the lions, folks. They paid a price. And you say, well, I didn't know any of them. That's not the point. You know the God that they knew and the Savior that they served. What about the Christian martyrs? What about the Montanists? And what about the Paulicians? And what about the Waldensians? You know, I heard that term once in Baptist history. Look at history records that 1 million Waldensians were martyred because they believed in salvation through Jesus only. They stood firm on the doctrines that had been delivered to them from the earlier generations. John Huss, here was a man who literally was burned at the stake in Constance, Germany, because he would not recant, because he believed in the doctrines of Christ and the propagation of the Scripture and William Tyndale and on and on. And then I think of the fundamentalists of the 1800s and the 1900s, Spurgeon and Moody and Torrey and J. Frank Norris and G.B. Vick and Billy Sunday, Lee Robertson, Lester Olof, John R. Rice, Tom Malone. We have a heritage, ladies and gentlemen. And one of the things that we have got to do in our hearts and in our ministry is to continue on, not for them, but continue on in the line of those who took their stand in their generation. And I'm not trying to be depressed tonight, but I'm going to tell you what. Those that are taking their stand, the number is getting smaller and smaller. And the need is greater and greater. The truth has been delivered, and folks, the truth needs to be defended. And we need to stand up and unashamedly proclaim the truth. Thirdly, the truth must be declared. Now, let me just take a moment and tell you and speak to the church staff for a minute. And I just want to say to the church staff and all the staff that work hard, but in particular, how much I appreciate the heart to take the load off of the pastor in any way possible so that I can declare the truth. Sometimes I'm my own worst enemy because I am such a curious person. I don't know if I'm compulsive obsessive, but if you know a test, I'll take it and find out. I'm the kind of guy that when I walk into the office and Miss Marin's got all my mail on her desk, I want to read it right there. So it's just curious about it. I wonder what that, Bible Baptist Church of Fresno, so, let me see that one. And it's just curious. I'm just curious. And I'm not trying to get in someone's business or something, but I'll walk by a computer room and I'll go in there and see what's going on. And, hey, oh, man, that's great. That's wonderful. Hey, that ought to be a different color, don't you think? And whatever. And probably I'm my own worst enemy sometime that way, but I'm just curious about the ministry. But I thank the Lord for folks whose heart is, Pastor, we got this covered, and can we make that visit, or can we help in this way so that I can get in to the Word of God? Now, how important is that? Back to the survey. Did the pastor and his preaching play a part in your coming to the church? Look at 97%. So what were the three dominant things in this survey, okay? Friendliness, huge, right? Friendliness was very, very important. Truth, despite all the bands and the hipster stuff going on in churches today, still people went to church because of truth was there. Truth, folks, people want the truth, right? So that this is a friendly place that stands for the truth, but if the truth isn't being communicated effectively, they weren't going to come either. When I read the book that this came from, I'm going to tell you what, I got convicted about worrying too much about who wrote the letter or what color the bulletin was. Because folks, frankly, you ought to pray that pastor has clarity and power in the pulpit, because that's really the most needful thing is the preaching of the Word of God. Truth must be declared. 2 Timothy 4:1-2. Preach the Word. And by the way, you're not going to find me hiding the truth on Sunday mornings. We're going to talk tomorrow about explaining and trying to be relevant and helping people understand and how people can get more comfortable through time. But when we're preaching verse by verse, or when something's going on in society like this Prop 8 issue and they're trying to have same-sex marriages, here's my opinion. Listen very carefully. If I don't preach about that, I have not done my job as a pastor. There are renowned preachers right now in America who are saying, we do not preach against abortion, we do not preach against homosexuality, including Andy Stanley and this type of seeker group, because they don't want to offend the people that are seeking. But you know, those very people, many of them want to know, what's the Bible say about that? It may be the message about that that causes them to be saved. Brother Getch, one of my memories of this, our very first revival meeting, and I forget what we had, 50, 60 folks in there. I remember the De Leons brought their whole mentally handicapped home and filled a row and won a Bible the first revival. That's how we got a crowd, and it's just, by the looks of things lately, that same ministry is doing well at Lancaster Baptist. But we had a visiting family that Tuesday night. It was Dennis and Janet DePrater. And, I mean, for my first revival, and, you know, I don't know what's supposed to be preached really at revivals. I just thought you preached every night about revival, whatever that is. And Brother Getch got up that second night and preached on tithing. And I remember thinking to myself, we got about 50 people here tonight, and he's going to run every last one of them right out the back door. I mean, you talk about the most controversial thing, and when I was younger, too, most of you have noticed I've gotten over my shyness about preaching on money. You've noticed I've had victory in that area in my life, ministry. But man, back then, I mean, it was, I didn't hardly ever like to mention it. You know, I mean, I just, well, here's an offering plate. If you want to put some in, be fine. Okay, let's pray. You know, just something like that, you know. And when I stood up for the invitation, he said, now pastor's going to come. I'm thinking, I don't want to come. I'm staying right over here. I don't know you. And I mean, I didn't know what to think about that. He said, pastor's going to come. Some of you need to come. And really, he didn't even preach really honestly about getting saved. He just preached about robbing from God. And I'm sitting over here thinking to myself, who's going to get saved? He didn't even say get saved. And he said, pastor's going to come. So I went down there and stood there and thought we'd sing a verse or two and go home. And here came Dennis and Janet DePrater. I didn't know them. They were invited by another fireman out at the Plant 42. And I figured they were coming to lay their checkbook on the altar. You know, they've been robbing from God wherever they went to church, apparently. And I said, can I help you folks? And they said, well, we're here to, you know, have Jesus. And I said, you mean like get saved? They said, well, we heard it called that. I was bumbling, they were bumbling. We didn't really know the whole really what to say thing. And sure enough, we took them to the side room and they got saved. By the way, 23 years later, they were in church last Sunday morning. Now guys, listen to me. Some of you young men on staff, it's not always about kind of tricking them in there and laughing them down the aisle. Have fun in church. Humor's needed. Practicality is needed. But don't ever worry about just standing up and preaching the truth of the Word of God. How many of you are thankful the Holy Spirit just works in so many great ways and the Word of God always brings fruit? So we don't need to hide it. And let me just give you four quick thoughts about declaring the truth. Number one, contextually. Number two, convincingly. My speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of spirit and of power. You know, the fact of the matter is that the Bible still says preach, and preach still means declare with authority. Okay. And I know I had people tell this to me 20 years ago. You know, you don't want to just get up there and just, you know, preach like that. You just kind of want to, people would tell me that you need to be more conversational, you know. And I understand there's a place for teaching, there's a place for coming over and visiting, but we must prepare and preach contextually, convincingly, continually, and courageously. It's so vital. The spirit of ministry is striving together. The stand for the truth is for the faith. Number three, the third dominant truth in this verse is the souls of men. The souls of men. Philippians 1:27 is about striving together. It's about striving together for the faith. And it's about striving together for the souls of men. And folks, I want to talk with you about this for just our few closing moments here. I'm convinced that great churches and institutions, even our independent Baptist, I am convinced somewhere along the line lost this matter of having a heart for souls and keeping soul winning at the front. So, well, what's the proof of that? Amongst many other things, the proof is large 800,000 seat auditoriums with 50 and 100 in them. Let's not get to the place where it's just about managing the stuff and fixing the buildings. We need to do that, but may it always be for the sake of reaching people, for the faith of the gospel. Now, Jerry Vines wrote in a book I read this, or still reading actually this summer, Whosoever Will, our theology teachers ought to read it. But listen to this statement from this book, and just follow with me as I read. John 3:16 addresses a number of isms. The phrase for God responds to atheism, which claims there is no God. The phrase so loved responds to fatalism, which asserts God as an impersonal force. The phrase the world responds to nationalism, which says God loves only one group of people. The phrase that he gave responds to materialism, which says it is more blessed to give than to receive than to give. The phrase his only begotten son responds to Mohammedism, which says God has no son. The phrase that whosoever believes responds to five-point Calvinism, which says Christ died only for the elect. The phrase in him responds to pluralism, which says all religions are equal. The phrase should not perish responds to annihilationism, which says there is no hell. The phrase, but have everlasting life, responds to Arminianism, which says God only gives life conditionally. John 3:16 is a simple biblicism which reveals the mind, the heart, and the will of God. Isn't that a great statement? Aren't you glad you're saved tonight? Don't you thank God for John 3:16, that God so loved the world and that he gives eternal life to whosoever believes? And just want to wrap it up tonight right here, striving together for what? For the faith. Oh, there will be those cynical ones saying, well, you know, they're empire builders over there. They're just trying to get popular, or, you know, this or that and grumping and grumping. Look, we know what it's about tonight. It's about the faith of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have received the gospel message. Thank God for it. And we've been put in trust with it. And we have a responsibility with the gospel message. And where I think so oftentimes we miss the mark. There are Bible college teachers in Bible colleges and Christian colleges who think that teaching the Bible is enough. But the Great Commission does involve winning the lost to Jesus Christ. Oh, one of the blessed things about a student coming to our ministry is that they might see a teacher who's involved in soul winning, Brother Lester, and hear some stories about what God is doing in reaching the lost. Printing Bibles or teaching in a Bible college is no excuse for not soul winning. Soul winning is still God's mandate for all of us. And we have a responsibility to do several things. Number one, to distribute with clarity the gospel of Jesus Christ. Studying to show ourselves approved unto God. Rightly dividing the word of truth with clarity. Secondly, to distribute with joy the gospel of Jesus Christ. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly and beloved. Look at Paul said, you know, when I think about the Philippian church, they're just my joy. It's just a joy to see the spirit of the Philippian church. And I so appreciate men who have what Dr. Gibbs preached about last night, just that be of good cheer, the cheer of the Christian life. Boy, we all have hard times and hard days and hard knocks, but thank God that there is a joy in being saved, and don't lose that joy of being saved. And everyone has a tough day, but we've got to see that there's a modeling here of the joy. Dale Carnegie, 5 tips. I just threw this in here for you. We know where the joy comes from the Holy Spirit. Here's some things that might help some of you. Become genuinely interested in other people. Next, smile. Amen? And have the right spirit. Have the right attitude. Next, try to remember someone's name. Next, be a good listener. Talk in terms of other person's interests. Look, we need to love people, be interested in people, and I'm not talking about power positive thinking is what gets them saved. No, the gospels get them saved. But let's have a heart of joy. Distribute with clarity, distribute with joy. Next, we need to distribute with urgency. Look, lift up your eyes and look on the fields that are white already to harvest. Amy Carmichael said, we will have all of eternity to celebrate victories, but only a few hours before sunset in which to win them. I'll tell you what, We need to be very faithful, striving together for the faith, striving together for the faith of the gospel, of the gospel. Seven habits of concerned soul winners I want to talk to you about. We're going to talk more tomorrow about soul winning, but let me just say this tonight. Number one, concerned soul winners carry gospel tracts. They carry gospel tracts. They carry their driver's license. They carry a ballpoint pen. They carry gospel tracts. Carry gospel tracts. All right, number one, carry gospel tracts. Number two, seek a partner for the fall. Number three, pray for fruit. Number four, be on time to soul winning meetings. Let me just say that one again. Be on time to soul winning meetings. I want you to be there. I want you to be on time. I want the spouses here. You say, oh, my husband's on staff. Good. That means you're going to be a model church member then. Be at the soul winning meeting on time. Smiling, happy. People do what people see. They need to see us out. All right? I can't stress that enough. Be on time. Sit with new converts. Sit with your new converts. Hey, will you sit with me? And have your convert say, I want you to sit with me at church. That's a blessing that you can sit with your convert. All right? Next, look for visitors. Look for visitors. Man, I'll tell you what, be on the lookout all the time. And hey, good to see you. And my name's Tim Butterfield. Is this your first time today? Sometimes they'll say, I've been here 6 months. You know, you ever have them say that? And sorry. But we're glad you're here for 6 months and get to know them too. But look for the first-time visitors. And sometimes you'll be able to generate a follow-up call right there because you met them. Number seven, make calls on Saturday nights. Do you do that? If you have a prospect list, you ought to, and if you really want someone to sit with you on Sunday, you're going to make calls on Saturday night. And I'm saying every man here, every lady here, if everyone, and we ought to make some calls on Saturday night. Hey, Joe, how you doing? Remember me? I knocked on your door Tuesday. Hey, how you doing? Remember you said you'd come Sunday? Want you to know I'm saving you a seat. Want to go to In-N-Out when we're done? Just something like that. Call. A lot of times I see men on our staff. I don't know exactly the routine on Saturday, but it doesn't seem to include calls. And the calling's not the job of the intern. It's your personal prospect list. Let's really think about that. Make calls. There are seven things right there. Number, letter C, we must develop relationships for the gospel. Relationships. Let me give you a few quick things. Number one, steward your soul-winning activities. Your door knocking, your daily life contacts, through the church life, intentionally stewarding those contacts. Number two, organize the contact information. Organize it. Tomorrow you're going to have a session just on how to do that. Number three, cultivate those relationships. I'm not talking lifestyle evangelism, but I'm saying not everybody gets saved the first time. So we want to cultivate those relationships. Here's a question from the survey. Did relationships play a part in your choosing this church? 57% of the formerly unchurched or the unsaved said yes. Said, somebody that I knew, somebody that I got to know, somebody that just made an effort to get to know me, helped me come and get saved in this church. You say, well, I just met him at church. It's not much of a relationship, but it could be the beginning of a relationship in which you lead that person to Christ. Cultivate those relationships. At the age of 5, Hannah made an insightful statement about her newfound faith. She said, Mother, I think Jesus has moved out of my heart. Mother said, Hannah, what in the world are you talking about? She said, he has moved into my throat because all I want to do is talk to people about Jesus. Now, I'm glad he's in your heart, but let's make sure he moves into our throat this year. Striving together for the faith of the gospel. What's the gospel? Good news. Say it. What is it? Good news. We've got some good news to tell, and we want to be faithful with it. Relationships are more than just the icing on the cake, someone said. They are the cake. And we want to remember that every relationship, everybody we meet, the barber, the car guy, the flat tire that we thought was a problem, God meant that for an opportunity. Brother Schmidt told me this morning, he said, had an appointment with someone this morning. He said, I didn't really intend for it to be, but it was 2 hours of witnessing to a Jewish man. It was obviously something God intended. Thank God he recognized that. I wonder how many times God puts you somewhere and you don't recognize that. But God had a reason for it. So let's think about the 25th year. And what do we want to do? We want to really hone in on what we talked to 9 people about nearly 25 years ago. Striving together. striving together. The spirit of our labor is striving together. It's a humble, servant-hearted, without an it. The spirit of our labor, striving together. What is the spirit? Striving together. It's a working spirit. It's a together spirit. That's the spirit of it. The stand of our labor. We're standing together for the truth. We're standing together for the truth of the gospel. And then finally, not only do we see in this verse the spirit and the stand, but let me remind you of the souls of men. We're striving together for the faith of the gospel. The souls of men need the gospel of Jesus Christ. What are we going to do in the 25th year? We're going to strive together for the faith of the gospel. The spirit striving together, and the stand for the faith, and the souls of men need the gospel. Now, we can say that all day long, but if we're late to soul winning, absent to soul winning, not carrying gospel tracts, not interested, we're busy with our, you know, everyone gets sick once in a while, but we can emergency ourselves right out of responsibility. Let me encourage you to join with God's plan, with your team, with your pastor, and strive together for the faith of the gospel.
Well, this is the Spiritual Leadership Podcast. You've been listening to Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. And we've heard today the second half of the lesson, Striving Together in Spiritual Leadership, a challenging lesson about why we do and how we do what God has called us to do. And I hope you've been challenged today. Don't forget, you can subscribe to the Spiritual Leadership Podcast outline. It's a complimentary email. If you'll go to Dr. Chappell's blog at paulchappell.com, click on the Spiritual Leadership Podcast tab or link, and then just simply send us your email address. We won't misuse that, but we will once a month send you a notification that the podcast is posted, and you'll have a download link to a PDF file for you to take that outline and follow along in the lesson. And then, as always, you have our permission to take this lesson and reuse it as the Lord would lead you to do in your own ministry. We do hope you'll pass along some of these principles to your staff or lay leaders. I want to encourage you also to visit us at strivingtogether.com. Striving Together Publications is the publications ministry of Dr. Chappell, our church, and our college. We're excited about the resources that God is allowing us to provide on a regular basis. You'll find on the website not only Sunday school curriculum and adult class materials, you'll find also outreach materials in the form of tracts, outreach cards, brochures. You'll find some other printed resources for church ministry. You'll find a host of great biblically sound books that you'll be able to use in your ministry. I do want to encourage you to take a look at the new resources. First of all, the Living Hymns Retypeset Edition is now printed and on its way to us so we can begin shipping them out. We're also featuring some Resurrection Sunday tracts and brochures on the website. And then Dr. Chappell's most recent book is entitled The Baptist Deacon, Understanding the Servant Leadership Role of Those Who Lead in the Local Independent Baptist Church. And these resources are tremendous tools for local church ministry. This and much, much more, all to be found at strivingtogether.com. We're also very excited about some materials that we've been working for months on that are on their way to press. Our second children's curriculum is just now going to press. You'll enjoy putting this to use in your children's ministry. A young adult curriculum for senior high or singles, college and career age ministry entitled Life Quest. The book has been turned into a curriculum that we hope you'll begin using. Dr. Chappell has a couple of new resources, a book in particular that we're excited to place in your hands. I'm going to wait and talk about that until we get closer to our 25th anniversary and give him the opportunity to introduce that resource to you. But we're excited about that and other things that are going to press that should be coming off the press in time for our 25th anniversary and leadership conference. And then finally, I do hope you'll plan to be with us for the second week of July for our 25th anniversary and spiritual leadership conference. We're going to enjoy 4 days of encouragement, challenging music, fellowship, Bible preaching, and a host of great sessions that will train us to be better servants and better leaders in the local church ministry. The dates for the conference, July 10th is the Sunday, and then the conference begins 11th through the 14th. And you can find more about that when you visit us at lancasterbaptist.org. Again, for more information about the Spiritual Leadership Conference, visit us at lancasterbaptist.org. Time and space are running out to register for the Alaska cruise. We are hosting our anniversary ministry cruise to Alaska. Hundreds of guests and friends from all across the country, pastors, those in full-time ministry, lay folks are joining us. It's going to be an awesome time. We leave from Seattle in August, and we spend 8 days cruising the Inside Passage of Alaska. It is an unforgettable, once-in-a-lifetime experience. It's hard to put into words, but you can find out more information about this cruise and the memories you'll make on it when you visit the West Coast Baptist College website. That's wcbc.edu. And just click on the link to the Alaska cruise, and we hope you'll join us for 8 days of fellowship, great food, preaching, and some adventures that you'll never, ever forget. That's August 6th through the 13th, 2011. Thanks for being a part of today's edition of the Spiritual Leadership Podcast. And until next time, may God bless you as you serve and lead His people to impact our world for the gospel of Jesus Christ.